What we're talking about here is the truth about Rhema and Logos. Okay? We heard all kinds of stuff about it, and I've been talking to you about it somewhat, but I want to bring it out in a complete teaching and give you the definition. So, usually, see, you think, or I say you. Now, when I say you, I don't mean necessarily you, but I'm talking about those out there, because it's not just you hearing this. There are going to be people on these tapes that hear it and everything else. So, you, the church, okay, generally think that you are to act upon something because it is, you act upon it because it's a rhema to you. In other words, you're supposed to act when it becomes a rhema. You get a rhema, you're supposed to act. You're not supposed to act until it's a rhema, right? But in reality, it's rhema because you act upon it, okay? You don't act upon it because it's rhema. It's rhema because you act upon it. Okay? You get that? Now, because remember, and I will show you through this, and when I was doing this, especially a word study, but it's amazing because when you read these out, how clear it gets that really a rhema was never spoken to anybody. It was always a logos. And then even in the reading of it, you can find out when someone, when it was a word that they were to act upon, even that was a logos. But then when it describes them acting upon it, it was rhema. So the rhema was the past tense of the logos being acted upon. All right? Now, let's look at it. Strong's Concordance. The word rhema is number 4487. It is the Greek word itself. It means literally, now listen to the definition, because when I give you the definition for logos, you're going to be amazed at how similar they are. Technically, I could remove each word, rhema and logos, and you couldn't tell which was which. Same definition. It's amazing. It says, rhema is an utterance, individually, collectively, or specifically. By implication, it is a matter or a topic. You hear that? A matter or a topic. Especially, usually used of narration, command, or in a dispute. Now, in the King James, it is translated as saying, word, and nothing. Okay, you say nothing. What is that? Okay, remember whenever Mary, in Luke, it said, and no word of God is void of fulfillment, right? Literally, it's not saying nothing. It says no word of God. It says when it says nothing is impossible, that word there is word, rhema. No word of God is void of fulfillment, right? So it doesn't say, it's translated, the word is translated as nothing. So you'll see it because the scripture's in here, so I'll show it to you. In Thayer's, it says this, properly, it is that which is or has been uttered by the living voice. Or it is a thing or is a thing spoken or a word. Now, do you realize that all of the commands of Jesus, all of the things that are written in Acts and the Gospels, they were all spoken by the living voice. In other words, Jesus spoke it. Right? As he was teaching, he was speaking it. Right? But he said as he spoke. It says the sower sows the word. Again, I'm getting over into the scriptures. The word for word there, it says the sower sows the word is logos, not rhema. So Jesus, as he was teaching, he was spreading logos. Okay? Now, notice, it is any sound produced by the voice and having a definite meaning. It means a speech or a discourse. It is a series of words joined together into a sentence. Now see how simple definition? This is not a super spiritual definition, right? It just doesn't say anything about some special revelation or thing. Guess that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Technically, when he spoke it, anything he says is logos. Okay? And when we act upon it, or it is acted upon, it becomes rhema. In other words, the word spoken. Now, and again, we, you know, it gets kind of hard to talk about this way because we're talking about a word being spoken, and then, okay, so here you got the word, and then here's the rhema. No, it becomes rhema because they're acting upon that word. The reason we're having the problem in discussion is because a word is an intangible substance, right? An intangible thing. Now, if it was something tangible, we'd say, well, I'll give you this way. When you eat food, food is food, right? It's a substance, right? When you eat it, now you don't eat food because you want food. No, I'm not talking about the taste of food, okay? I'm talking about the reason humans eat food is because they don't need food, they need energy for their body to work. So you take the food in. The food, as you take it in, now, bear with me, I'm not going to get graphic, okay? But bear with me. If you take food in your body and it does not change in your body, then it passes right on through your body, right? Now, for the food to do you any good, the food has to change, right? Into what? Energy, right? You take food in, it's a substance of food. Now, different types of foods obviously have different levels of energy contained within them, right? Some foods have more energy, and when it breaks down, your body can use it for a longer period of time than it can other foods. Now, so that's the difference between logos and rhema, okay? Logos is the food. As you act upon it, as it is broken down and utilized, it becomes rhema. Okay? Energy, exactly. Now, the amazing thing is, it says that the gospel, the good news, the word which we preach, is the power of God. Okay? Now, when you look up power, there's different words for power. There's exousia, there's dunamis, there's different words for it. But one word for explosive power is the word energeo, which is where we get our word energy. Right? So the gospel being the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, which is everything, that when you take that word in, it creates an energy. Well, that's what food does. When you that's why he said you eat this word. Why? Because as you eat this word, it will become energy. It will energize you to do what's necessary. Now, the beauty of it is, since this is spiritual food, it gives you spiritual energy. So as you get the spiritual food of power, you read what the Word of God, you read the Logos of God on power, and it says you have power. Then you take that in. Then it creates within you the ability, as you act upon that, it creates the energy of the power, and that's called rhema. Okay? Does that make sense? That then it gives you the energy to accomplish what the power of God is supposed to accomplish. So this is real. It's amazing how we've made it, again, made this thing to some super spiritual thing where God has to give you a rhema. And I taught this whole thing one time up in Charlotte, North Carolina. Taught it for like 2 hours. Went through the whole thing, answered questions. I mean, drilled it. Just beat that dead horse constantly, okay? And as soon as I finished, we're going to take a break. And the person who was hosting got up, come up to dismiss the people and said, you know, this is just a lot to take in. And we just need to stop and pray right now that God will make this a rhema to us. And I'm like, I don't know where you were. Okay? You might have been sitting there, but you weren't here because you didn't hear a word I just said. Right? But it was amazing. And the funny thing was, this person was so super spiritual. And yet out of the whole crowd, that was the one person that I know for sure did not get what I was saying. The other people that were there, they were just normal people. And if you said, how spiritual are you? They'd say, I don't think I'm that spiritual. They got it. Which is exactly what Jesus encountered. Exactly. You know, and it's because we want to spiritualize everything. Why? Because it is so easy to be super spiritual because you can act certain ways, be looked up to by people, and never produce a thing. Never have any results, but something's going on. I feel something. My hands are hot. It's the anointing. I feel what. And you know, it's amazing because it's always, you feel it, nobody else can see it other than your whatever else you're doing, right? And I'm not against that, all right? You want to fall down? Fall down. We're not going to have catchers. Still want to fall? You see what I'm saying? It's just amazing to me how we want to spiritualize this. Because if we can spiritualize it, then we never have to produce it, and we can carry on with religious stuff, and we can build up a strong, not a following, but a strong reputation of being super spiritual, right? I mean, come on, when it comes down to it, if you can't preach and get people saved, healed, and delivered, I don't care what else you're doing. Right? You will never be more spiritual than whenever you are witnessing to an unsaved person and getting them saved. That is as spiritual as you will ever get. Right? And yet you may be talking very natural things and trying to win them and to get these, you know, to explain things to them. But you cannot be more spiritual than trying to get somebody saved, healed, or delivered. All the other stuff is all you. You understand? I don't mean it. I'm not saying it's never from God. I'm just saying I don't care how spiritual you are if it just affects you. Right? If your spirituality isn't affecting other people, you're not that spiritual. Right? We have a t-shirt that we did that has our logo on it. And on the back it says, if your gospel isn't touching others, it hasn't touched you. And so we need to realize super spiritual is not believers' meetings that are just so amped up. Super spiritual is being able to help your neighbor that doesn't know how to touch God or get in touch with God and doesn't know how to get help. And you bring that help to them. That's spiritual. Amen? Now, I don't care if you kick the cat on the way over there. Right? You have dominion over cats anyway. Things shouldn't have gotten your way. All right? You're here to help people. Okay? All right. Now, let's look at this. In, where are we at here? Yeah. The word rhema. Yeah. It means any sound produced by the voice having a definite meaning. It is a saying of any sort. It is an utterance, a declaration, a message, or a narrative. It is the subject matter of speech. Now, you realize rhema and logos, again, you're going to see the same definition in both of them, but it is the subject matter of a speech or a thing spoken of. It is, let me go and give you the definition for logos. It is number 3056 in Strong's Concordance. It means, as respecting speech, it is a word which uttered by the living voice. Now, isn't that exactly what I just read about rhema? See, we've made the definition, we've made the distinction between the two, and we built entire denominations and, you know, doctrines and everything on it, and yet you get back to the definition, it's not there. It's something we have built up. Now, it means, it embodies a conception or an idea. It is what someone has said. It is a saying, usually used of the sayings of God. It is the equivalent to a decree, a mandate, or an order. It has to do with moral precepts given by God when it refers back in the Old Testament. It is the equivalent of a promise in Hebrews 4:2. It is an oracle or utterance by which God discloses to someone certain events. Now, watch this, because he goes on. It is the act of speaking. It is equivalent to the faculty of speech. Now, you see how natural this is? If I'm talking, if we go out here and talk about cars, okay? The words I'm saying, they are logos, right? It doesn't have to be spiritual. It doesn't have to be Bible talk to be logos or rhema. These were the normal Greek words for speech. Okay, that's why we've had such a big problem is that we have emphasized the Greek words as opposed to the English translations of them, because both of them mean word. Now, it is something said by implication, a topic. Also, the reasoning or the faculty or the mental faculty, it can be the motive or a computation. In other words, you figured it out and then spoke it out. Now, watch this. In Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words, number 3056, logos means the expression of thought. Not just the mere name of an object, but it embodies a conception or an idea. Now, watch this. It is the revealed will of God. Okay? The revealed will of God. Now, go with me. Well, actually, and I'm going to give you the Vine's definition of rhema. It is that which is spoken, what is uttered in speech or writing, a word, a discourse. Let's see. It is used of the gospel. Yes, talking about the gospel in Romans. It's called the word of Christ. In Luke 1:37, no word from God shall be void of power. That it means that kind of, that's where its distinction is. Now listen, the significance of rhema as distinct from logos. Now get this, this is the definition, okay? The significance of rhema as distinct from logos is exemplified in the injunction of Ephesians 6:17 to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema or word of God. Here the reference is not to the whole Bible as such, but to the individual scripture which the Spirit brings to your remembrance for use in time of need. You hear that? Now, I'm going to bring this home for you. Now, notice this. So what, according to this, what is rhema? It is when you're in a situation and something's going on and a scripture comes to your memory. Okay? Now, we just think we're remembering scripture. But according to scripture, that is the Spirit bringing to remembrance everything Jesus said, right? And you're remembering that scripture that applies to that situation, right? Technically, that's a rhema, right? Now, that would mean, now what it applies to, it means it's something for you to do, right? So as he brings the scripture, then you apply that, and that makes that logos the rhema, all right? Now notice, see how natural that is? You're going about your daily life, you see someone sick, all of a sudden you remember Mark 16, believers lay hands on a sick and they'll recover, okay? And whenever you step out and do that, now you just remembering that is just you remembering logos. The Spirit brings that logos up. But whenever you step out and act on it, now it's rhema. Rhema is the logos you live by. Rhema is, and I'll prove this, rhema is the logos you do. Okay? It's not a special thing. It's not a special leading. It's not a special okay. It's not even a special command to do something. It is simply the Spirit of God helping you remember what the Scripture says, and you go, yeah, and then you do it. Right? So forget all that super spiritual hoopla and nonsense. Right? It is just the logos being brought up to your memory for you to act on. And then you decide whether you're going to act on it or not. Right? Okay. Notice. Let me see here. Yeah, this is the main thing about that. It is which the Spirit brings to our remembrance for use in a time of need, a prerequisite being the regular storing of the mind with Scripture. You hear that? Now see, you can't have a rhema unless you're storing the mind with the Logos. Right? And what I mean by that, in other words, you can't act on a word you don't know is there. So the first step before the Spirit can bring things to your remembrance, you got to put it in there for you to remember it, right? And as you do that, so that's the key. Is again, it's getting the logos. You got to hear it, you got to read it, and as you hear it and read it, you begin to do it, and it's rhema. Okay? Now, notice. Yeah, rhema is the word you act upon. Rhema is the logos you act upon. Now, what is logos? Logos is the expression of thought and will, right? Any person, if I give you my thought or will concerning something, I'm giving you that in logos. For instance, if I said, now listen, I want you to be back here by 7 o'clock, right? That's the logos. That is an expression of my thought. Let me say 6:55. How's that? Okay. That's an expression of my thought and will. Okay? Now, you're hearing logos. You've heard the expression of my thought and will. Now, if you show up here at 6:55, then you have turned my logos into rhema for you. And those of you that are late, you're still living in logos. Okay? Is that a clear enough definition? Okay? But notice what goes out is logos. See, you determine. See, two people can be sitting here and hear the same word, logos, right? And then one of you goes out and does it, and the other doesn't. Well, what do we got? I just described Matthew chapter 7. One of you heard my words and did it, right? That's a wise person building their house on the rock. The other person heard my words and didn't do it. That's the foolish person, and their house fell, right? Now, both of you heard logos. But which one was it rhema to? The one that did it. Now, who determines if it's rhema? Is it God or is it you? You. Now, is this pretty clear? I mean, if we could just get this section of teaching out to the church world, do you realize the impact it would have on the church world if we would just get them doing this? That knocks out all. See, our problem is we have tried to make it. We've used the wrong words. We use words like enlightened, or revelation, or leading, or rhema to all mean the same thing. And technically, they don't. They mean different things, right? And so, because one is getting an understanding, one is hearing a word, the other is acting on the word, so they mean different things. And yet, we use them interchangeably, and they're not interchangeable. So we need to come to a point where we are accurate in this and begin functioning and fulfilling it. Amen? Now, let's go through some scriptures very quickly. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, rhema, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now notice, here the word for word there is rhema. Why is it rhema? I thought what we hear has to be logos. And when we act upon it, rhema. In other words, what he's saying is, the word you live by is not every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? That's what we said before. You don't live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We would like to. Right? But nobody does. So what words do you live by? The ones you do. Isn't that right? You're not living by words you're not doing. So here he says, you live by every word, rhema. And let's put our definition in. If rhema is the logos you act upon, then let's put that in there. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every logos he acts upon. That proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, where does logos come from? Out of the mouth of God. So he's not talking about words that proceed out of the mouth of man. He's talking about the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. What is that? That's this right here. Right? All scripture is inspired, written by God. Right? So man doesn't... You see, do you know anybody that's living by every scripture here? No. So obviously that's not what he's talking about. So because we don't live by every scripture that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. What we live by is every scripture that we act upon. Every scripture that we obey. Is that clear? That's real simple. Now watch. Matthew 8:8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the logos only. You hear that? Speak the logos only. And my servant shall be healed. You say, well, shouldn't that be a rhema? No. Because there has to be, it's a word that's acted upon. Jesus can speak a word. See, you can, logos heals. Jesus was going to speak a word. There was no action required. Right? There was no action required for that servant to be healed. The man said, you just speak the word, he'll get healed. No action on anybody's part. Right? Nobody had to fulfill it. So the logos itself could heal. He sent his word, logos, and healed them all. Right? So there was no action to be performed, so it's just logos. The logos that Jesus spoke healed the centurion's servant. Now, if he had said, here, centurion, take this cloth back to your servant and put it upon him, and he'll be healed, then that would have been rhema because it would have required an action. Right? You see this? Okay. Matthew 8:16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his logos. You hear that? Again, why wouldn't it rhema? Because there was no action that had to be performed by any person. The power of his logos caused demons to go. Right? So if you can speak logos, you can cast out devils. With logos, not rhema. Right? I'm saying, if you get a hold of this, this will flat turn you, it'll change everything. Matthew 12:36. Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word, logos, that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You hear that? If you're going to talk words that produce no action and you don't act upon, you're going to give account for that because that's an idle word. It is a non-producing word. Why? Because you're not acting upon it. You're just talking. In other words, basically, man's going to give account for everything he talks about and doesn't live up to and doesn't do. Now watch. Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the logos of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Okay? He did not act upon it, didn't do anything with it. Matthew 13:20. But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the logos, and anon with joy receives it. Right? So again, it's a word he didn't act upon. That's why it wasn't rhema. He didn't act upon it. Matthew 13:21. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but endures for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Logos, by and by he is offended. Right? So persecution comes because of the Logos. Now, Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the Logos, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Logos, and he becomes unfruitful. Again, he's not acting upon it. You're going to find out. Logos is just the word spoken. Rhema is the word acted upon. Just drill that into yourself. Logos is the word spoken. Any preaching is Logos. When you act upon it, it becomes rhema. I know I'm saying that a lot, but you got to get... It's so ingrained in us the other way that you got to undo that and go the other way with it. In... Let's see here. It says in Peter. In Mark 2:2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the Logos unto them. Now this is Jesus talking, right? Now if Jesus is the living word, then everything he said, okay. Generally, the idea of what rhema is when God speaks a word to you right then. Right? Isn't that the way it's generally taught? God speaks a word right then, quickens it to you. Okay. Now, if Jesus is the Word of God, He's the living Word of God, shouldn't every word He spoke have been rhema? Everything they heard, shouldn't it have been rhema? Because He's telling them right then, this is it. Wouldn't it have all been, everything would have been rhema. But it says here that He preached Logos. So that proves that our idea of what rhema is not true. Logos is what you preach. Be doers of the word. Preach the word. Logos. Be instant, in season and out. You're going to find out all these are the same words. He said that be doers of the Logos. When you're doers of the Logos, what is it? Rhema. See, he couldn't say be doers of the rhema. That'd be redundant. Because what that'd be saying is be doers of the word you're doers of. Right? He couldn't say that. But he can say, be doers of the Logos, because then he's saying, don't just be hearers, don't just hear it, but do it. And when you do it, it's not going to be Logos, it's going to be Rhema. Right? We got, I won't say 1,000 scriptures, we're not going to 1,000 scriptures, but we do have a few here, okay? And I'm going to give you some of them again quickly. Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the Logos. You know what you ought to do, and I know you're probably making notes and things, what I did... Because I have a PC study Bible, I can go in, copy and paste, take the words and that kind of stuff. And as I am, over time, building, step by step, a Bible that I will be using that's basically just the King James Version. But every word where it says word here and it's Logos, I just go in there and click a button and it changes all those words to Logos. So when I read it, it will say, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Logos. It won't even say word, it'll tell me exactly what Greek word was used. Right? And eventually I will have this thing and hopefully someday I'll be able to publish it and it'll have all the right words in the right place and you can just go through and read it and it'll clear off. It's amazing how clear everything will be. Amen? So we're working on it. It's a long ways off. Okay. Now, in, let's see. I've already read that one. That's good. Some of these are redundant. Trying to get on down to some of the other ones. Mark 4:33. And with many such parables spake he the Logos unto them, and they were able to hear it. Mark 5:36. As soon as Jesus heard the Logos that was spoken. You hear that? Jesus heard a Logos. That means that somebody spoke a Logos to him. Right? Which proves that Logos just means spoken word. As soon as he heard the word spoken to him, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now, Mark 7:13, making the Logos of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Right? He said, look, you have made the Logos of God of none effect. In other words, what you've done, because of your traditions, you have explained it away to where now it doesn't even work. And that's exactly what we've done today. We have that in the church. People have explained things away to where now it doesn't even work. It says, Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the Logos with signs following. Now see, if our definition of rhema was right, he should have only confirmed the rhema that was spoken. Right? Shouldn't have confirmed the logos. But it said here he confirmed logos. Why? Because that's what you're preaching. Luke 1:2. Let's see. Well, yeah. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the logos. We're ministers of the logos, not of the rhema. Logos is the future tense of the word that you're fixing to do. Rhema is the past tense of the word having been acted upon. Okay, I'm giving you all kinds of different ways to say this. Now notice this. Go ahead here. Yeah. Lord, in Luke 2:29. Peter, let's see. It says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to the word. In other words, I'm acting upon your word. And that word there is rhema. Then he goes on. And Jesus, in Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema of God. Okay, we've already said that one. Luke 4:32, watch this. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word, logos, was with power. Hear that? The logos has power, not just the rhema. People say, oh, the logos, that's just there, that's nothing. It doesn't have power till the rhema. Not true. It says his logos was with power. Right? Let's see, yeah. Luke 4:36. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a logos is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. In other words, this is the word we're hearing. Isn't that right? I'm just giving you all the different places of it. And it came to Luke 5:1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Logos of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Again, they were coming to hear preaching. Now watch this. Luke 5:5. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your rhema, I will let down the net. In other words, at the word you've spoken that I'm acting upon, isn't that right? And it, look what word he's using, rhema. Word to be acted upon. You see, we just keep going on and on. Amen? There is so many of these that we can go, I've got several pages of them. We'll just do a couple more here real quick and then we'll let you go. Let's see. Yeah. Luke 8:21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the Logos of God and do it. Hear that? Not the rhema. The Logos. They hear the Logos and they do it. Luke 11:28. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they which hear the Logos of God and keep it. Over and over again, you're going to hear, we're told to keep the Logos, to do the Logos, and you'll never hear that you're supposed to keep the rhema, because you can't keep what you're acting upon. You understand what I'm saying? You do the Logos. When you do the Logos, it becomes rhema, because that's the Logos you're acting upon. Luke 12:10. And whosoever shall speak a word, Logos, against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, there shall not be forgiven. Then, let's see where we're at. Yeah. Yeah. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And if you tie that with over into Hebrews 1:3, it says that Jesus, the Logos, is the express image of God. Right? Now, Jesus is the Logos. He is the Word. But He is the Word that you have to act upon. Right? Jesus is the Savior. But He's not your Savior until you act upon His Word. Amen? You have to believe on Him. Which means that you're going to do more than just go, oh yeah, I agree. Right? You change your life. You become His disciple. It says, in the Logos, John 1:14, and the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, He sure said the rhema is made flesh, if that's the way we generally use it. And let's see. Trying to go to some of the other ones here real quick. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my Logos and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:38, and you have not his Logos abiding in you, For whom he has sent, him you believe not. In other words, you haven't acted upon it. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my logos, then you are my disciples indeed. Now he's not, at that point, you should be acting upon the word, but remember, here he says, if you continue in my word. In other words, if you're going to be continuing in this word that I'm preaching to you, and you're going to be doing it, then what do you do when you do it? It becomes what? Rhema? It's not rhema until you do it. He says, if you continue in my word, though, you'll be my disciples. Yeah, it's a couple of good ones in there, but like I said, I'll get these to you. In John 12:48. Here you go. This is the last one. We'll finish with this one, I think. John 12:48. He that rejects me and receives not my rhema hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the logos that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You hear that? Let me read it to King James way. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him, the word that I've spoken. And there's what he says. The same shall judge him in the last day. What's going to judge you in the last day? The words he's spoken. Now, where it says the words that I've spoken, that's logos. In other words, you're going to be judged by the actual word he's spoken. Right? That's the standard. But then he says, you have not received my word. In other words, you've not acted upon my word. And because you've not acted upon it, because you've not acted upon my logos, which makes it rhema, now there is a logos that's going to judge you. In other words, you should have been doing the logos, but since you haven't, then that word is what's going to judge you in the end time. See, that's why we've got to get back to the simplicity of the fact that this is what we're going to be judged by, not man's doctrine, not what comes out of Springfield or Rome or Tulsa or anywhere else. Right? Whatever decrees they send out, we're not going to be judged by. This is what we're going to be judged by. We've got to do these words. And when you do this logos, it will be rhema to you. But you've got to do them and be doers of the word and not just hearers. Amen? All right. I guess we're over with time. Let's see where we're at. Yeah, I didn't even get out of the Gospels. We got all the rest of the book, and there's a lot of stuff in there. But I will make all this available. This really should be, and as a matter of fact, in the life teams that you're getting this, these will be your studies. Okay, I will send these with you. You go in, you study it out, work it out. This one study could last probably 6 months if you wanted it to. Easy by just talking and discussing. But let me tell you, you spend some time in this, everything gets clear. You can't get fooled. You're not wispy. You're not weird anymore. You're solid. You're stable. You're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You're walking solid. The gospel, the scriptures will work for you, and you will accomplish the will of God. Amen? The Logos is the expression of God's word and will. It's the expression of His thoughts and will. Right? The Logos is the expression of God's thoughts and will. The Rhema is acting, is the Logos or the word that you have acted upon. In other words, you have acted upon His will. Isn't that scriptural? A lot more scriptural than just waiting for a sign or a word or something. Amen? All right, let's all stand up. Now, I ask you two questions. Number one, have I said anything that differed from what you've heard before? Okay, I'm going to take that as a yes. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. I'll ask you three questions, actually. Have you heard me say anything that I've not backed up with Scripture? Yeah, I'll just say it that way. Have you heard me say anything that I've not backed up with Scripture? Okay. Have you heard me say anything that, well, I've already asked you about saying things different from what you heard before. I guess the final question would simply be this. What are you going to do with it? Amen? Now, you know what that means. That means that you are probably going to come into conflict with some people. Okay? Already have. There you go. Okay. That means you're applying something, right? You're applying the word somewhere. So, don't be surprised when you come into conflict. Okay? If you go through even just the Gospels, realize how many times it says that Jesus was disputing with these people and the disciples were disputing with the disciples of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were trying to trap him in his words. What makes you think it's any different today? Right? You're still going to have scribes and Pharisees, teachers of the law, that are trying to put you into legalism and under bondage, and they're going to try to come against you and try to keep you from just simply doing the will of God. Which, the amazing thing is, why should they care what you're doing? Right? But there is a spirit that wants to try to keep people in bondage. And the best way that that spirit can do it is through religion and through legalism. And so we really have to emphasize what you're the bottom line here is you have to decide, have you heard truth? And if it's truth, are you going to stand for it? Because that's the bottom line. Because I can't do that for you, but you have to decide whether you're going to stand or not. And if you see it as truth, then you have to stand for truth. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I bless these people. And Lord, we have spoken your word. They have heard your Logos, and now it's up to them to apply it and make it rhema in their life, the word that they live by. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you have provided the people here that are willing, that have a willing heart, a willing mind to learn and to apply and to do your will. So, Father, in Jesus' name, right now, I ask the Holy Spirit, which is already his job, and he does his job, but I just say, Holy Spirit, as you know, your job is to bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has spoken. And I ask you now, with these people here, that you do this with them frequently, that you apply it. Lord, they have new ground to work with. So in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, bring to their remembrance everything that's been said. Keep it in front of them. Don't let them forget it. Don't let it slide. Don't let it slip. But Lord, keep it in front of their eyes and let it be as though it were a barbed arrow that has been stuck into them that they can't simply pull out, but they must, it will stay there as an annoyance and a nuisance until they do it. So Father, I thank you for this people. I thank you that, Lord, you do your job, that you are quick to lead us and guide us into the things of truth so that we can apply them. And I thank you for this truth, and I thank you for people that apply it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Yes. Good. So. Yes, sir.